I'm very happy to introduce and welcome Niklas. Niklas is an artist, and his talk is about vectors, pixels, plotters, and public participation. He has a long list of projects around the world on many places, and he will tell us about some of them. And it's about art, colors, and people. And I'm very excited. I think it will be wonderful and colorful. And I'm very excited to welcome him. He's a Congress regular, but it's first time for him on the stage of the Congress. So welcome, Niklas, please here on stage.
Thank you, Petra. All right, so here's my presentation program. My first slide with my name, Niklas Roy. This is where I live. It's my workshop, little shop front in the east of Berlin. Here is my website. So you can see I make art with technology. Most of my projects involve some sort of electronics, coding, building hardware, building mechanisms. And I often try to make very different things, but in this talk I thought it makes sense to present a specific selection of machines that I've built, which all have something to do with each other, therefore the title, Vectors, Pixels, Plotters, and Public Participation. So this will be about drawing machines, which involve urban space and participation. And for the beginning, I would like to clarify some terminologies and concepts. So these are all about different levels of involvement with an artwork, and we can start from the bottom with interaction. So interactive art goes beyond passive observation. Quite often, it's an artwork that reacts to the viewers, and it might involve some coding and electronics, but it doesn't have to. Participatory art, that's then about a deeper level of engagement than just interaction, because the audience gets the role of participants and they contribute to the creation of an artwork. And then when we have artistic collaborations, that's when two or more people are working together to make an artwork, and those can be artists working with each other. But it can also be artists working with professionals from other fields, scientists, technologists, and then they would make an interdisciplinary artwork. And what's very important is that those concepts can all overlap in one way or another. Oops, so my mouse here, so they can all overlap. For example, it's perfectly imaginable that you create an interactive installation within an artistic collaboration. And it turns out that machines can be quite helpful for collaborative and participatory processes. And this is why I thought it also fits here to the Congress, because I guess we all like machines here. And I want to show three machines which I made in the recent years under different circumstances. And I made other projects in between. But because these three, they build upon each other, it makes sense to show them in a row. The first one is the Graphomat, that is a large-scale graffiti plotter. The second one is the Vector Collector, which I will only cover briefly, but it leads from the first to the third project, which you will understand when I show them. And the third one is the Mosaik Maschine, with which I created the Maschinenmosaik, and I will talk more in detail about that one. So let's start with the Graphomat. So this was a no-budget but fun project that started in spring 2021. And when we think back, it was one of those pandemic lockdowns. My calendar was unexpectedly completely empty. There was nothing happening except I had this legal graffiti wall at the park right next to my studio. And such a legal graffiti wall is called, in the graffiti jargon, a hall, comes from Hall of Fame. And I really liked the activity of the scene there at this hall, because they were basically just constantly creating art outside while everyone else was somehow stuck inside. And it felt quite attractive to me. and I thought I would like to participate, but my problem was I had no idea how to make graffiti. And also it involves talent and those things, and I don't have this. But I know how to build machines, so I thought I would build just a large-scale plotter with which I could contribute there and also make something. But here it's important to note that I did not want to compete with the graffiti artists there. I rather thought to make an interesting tool that we can explore together with the sprayers, with the community there. And at this point, I would like to make a short excursion in media art history, because when you're standing on the shoulders of giants, well, it's worth to check out what they've done before. And regarding spray can plotters, this here is Hector, that was built by Jörg Leni and Uli Franke in 2002. That was a very successful art piece. It's a polar plotter design. So there are those two stepper motors here in the corners, and the spray can is hanging in between them. And the design was adapted many times by other people, also as CNC machines. And I've been also in contact with Jörg throughout the process. He also knows that I'm showing his video here. He's quite a nice guy, very approachable. Another inspiration when we look further back in history is this one here. That is the Graphomat Z64. That's the first pen plotter that has ever been built by the company of Konrad Zuse. It has this classical, or what we regard now as a classical XY design of a plotter with a gantry. And I basically stole the name and the design principle from this machine. So to understand how such a plotter works, welcome to How to Build a Plotter. Just some general thoughts at the beginning. What I learned over the years is that there are basically two ways how one can build a machine. One is that you start with the outer shape and you fit everything inside. Makes totally sense if you still want to get it out of the door or if you have to ship it, but it requires some planning. The other way is to start with the smallest thing that you need and then build everything around, so to let it grow. And that's quite a good, quick and dirty approach, in my opinion. So in this case, I went for the second approach, for this quick and dirty, let it grow approach. And the most important part was, of course, a spray can. And what I also had was a cordless drill from Aldi with a broken battery. Maybe you know this problem when you have cheap cordless drills. So it was still working, but the battery didn't work anymore. And I wanted to recycle it because I like recycling. So I built everything around those parts. And when you have a cordless drill and a spray can, it's actually quite easy with a pulley and a washing line to build an X-axis mechanism and move the spray can left and right. So my neighbor, who is also our janitor, he had the same. He also likes to shop at Aldi. He had the same cordless drill, and he gave it to me. And you can see already, when you have the X-axis and it moves left and right, the spray can, you can just move it up and down with the second cordless drill. So this is what I've built next. So because I didn't want to manipulate the cordless drills by hand, I also used a controller. And now we have one problem, because the... You know, it can move the spray can, but the controller doesn't know where the spray can is located, so we need some sort of a feedback here. And I used optical encoders and those strips with black and white stripes. So basically, there are some sensors, and they are just counting the black and white strips on the stripes. So this keeps track of the position of the spray can, basically. So there's another thing missing. We need a data source so that the controller knows where to move the spray can. There I used a simple SD card reader that I've built, and of course a power source. There I used a 12-volt motorcycle battery. These are the specs. So the plotter was able to plot in an area of 2 meters by 2.20 meters with a resolution of 1 centimeter. And these here are the real devices. So what you can see here is the controller, the bottom, and attached with Velcro on top is an SD card reader. And the next slide will be a video of the machine in action. That was one of the first tests. And they can recognize already that it makes it also quite unusable for illegal purposes because it's quite loud and it's also quite slow. So what you're going to witness in the next slide is how I was experimenting with raster images, and I thought to make some portraits. I was curious how well this works. I used transparent CMYK spray paint, and I made a low-res portrait of Konrad Zuse because I didn't want to use the stereotypical test images for computer graphics. So let's have a look. Thank you. So there happened actually quite a funny thing when I came back the next day, because the sprayers were quite confused about what happened there. They were quite confused about why is, like, who does that? Who points so many dots and makes a portrait of someone? This was the first confusion. The next confusion is, why did this person spray a portrait of Erich Honecker there? So for clarification for our international visitors, on the left side, this is Konrad Zuse, computer pioneer. On the right side, this is Erich Honecker, leader of East Germany from 1976 to 1989. So now that you have seen the plotter in action, let's have a look at the techniques and materials that I've used to build it. Spoiler, it's nothing fancy, it's just materials from the hardware store. As you might remember, hardware stores were still open even during the lockdowns. So here we have the spray can mount. This is built out of cheap plywood, just cut with an electric saw, no CNC machine. I also didn't make a 3D model, I just drew on the wood, cut it out, tested it, it didn't work, I made a second version, then it worked. So whenever possible, I also used just tape and zip ties to connect everything together, because zip ties are cheap, simple, fast, lightweight. For the linear bearings, I used PVC electrical conduit, and this is gliding over aluminum pipes. Here we have the encoder strips that's just made with tape, basically. And what I also like as a material is Forex for plastic parts, because you can just cut it with a hobby knife. Quite often you can get it for free. You can recycle some event posters or something like this. Goes much faster than 3D printing, and it's also quite sturdy. When it comes to the electronics, for such kind of builds, I often just use some ready-made modules, and then I connect them just with some perf board. So also no etching, no Chinese PCB services involved here. And then when it comes to the firmware, I just used Arduino, and I wrote a very simple firmware. To be honest, because I was just too lazy to check what exists already and to understand it, so I thought I will just write it quickly by myself, which also worked well, but it has one problem. It did not read any existing file formats, so I also had to come up with my own file format. This is the .plt format. Sorry. So this is basically just a list of coordinates in a text file. And when you have your own image format, what do you need next? You need an image editor, some sort of a drawing program. So I wrote this in Processing, with which I could edit and create PLT files. Here's the workflow. I had this drawing program. I saved it from there as a PLT file on an SD card. Then I put it in the plotter controller, and from there, I could plot it. So, but I promised that this would be about participation and collaboration. So let's come to collaborations now, and let's return to the graffiti wall. Let's look at some collaborations. This here is an artist who calls himself How to Call a Graffiti. He has a graffiti background, and he makes this very experimental and artsy organic shapes and bodies, very large scales. And he was quite interested in the machine and was one of the first ones who wanted to use it for his purposes. He liked this kind of rasters, and he integrated them in his hand drawings. And then together with the local graffiti scene and also some nerds here and there, we made many sessions and we made a lot of experiments. And during one of the experiments, the idea came up to spray a very large blueprint of a long train. So we plotted the train in segments, and then we always moved the plotter from segment to segment, and everyone was invited to spray on the train. Thank you. Wait. Goes on, because I have more. Yeah, as you can see, I mean, they like to spray on paint, on trains. Here is the complete train. Then I also made some experiments which were a flop. I guess this is how it goes with experiments. For example, I don't know if you are aware of it, but it's quite normal when you do graffiti that you use different caps on the spray can. There are different ones which can have different effects then. And for the next experiment that I want to show you there, I used one cap which actually caused the paint to drip a lot more than expected. So that was not how we intended to make it, but this is what just happened. The experiment was done with Carolina Romano. She's a 3D artist and works with Blender and with Arturo Castro. I haven't seen them this year at the Congress, but sometimes they're also around here. He's an artist and a coder, and he wrote a Blender plugin with which you could export PLT files from Blender. And then they made an animation experiment. So now comes a video with music. Very nice. Maybe they see it in the stream. Hello, Arturo. Hello, Carolina. So here's another story that I also want to show you. Back in the days when Twitter was still a thing, I also posted about this on Twitter. And then I got, check out this time here, I posted on Friday evening, and then on Saturday, 5:56, I got a DM from Pixxa, who's sitting here also. Applause to Pixar. So I got this DM just with a list of numbers, and I thought, what is that? Let's try it out. Is this a PLT? And you guessed it, this was a working PLT file. And the next morning, I just went back to the wall, made a cyber bund, and sent it to him as a nice surprise in the inbox when he would wake up. So up to now, everything came from SD card that we have seen, but we can also have a look at some alternative input methods for the plotter. For example, I also built a joystick because it was quite fun to control it also in real time, standing in front of it, also plotting high up. And I made many more experiments, including one that happened here around the corner in front of the St. Pauli Stadium together with Carolonia. There we made a workshop where people could control it from at home. That was like a Zoom conference, and with WASD and the keyboard, they could control the plotter, basically. So this worked with webcams, WebSocket, you guessed it. And I don't want to elaborate too much on it, so you can have a look at the project documentation on my website. There you can also find all these codes and everything if you want to dive deeper into it. So now have your cameras ready, because these are all the Insta handles of all the people who collaborated there with the machine. If you want, you can check them out. I haven't been on Instagram before, but this graffiti scene, they somehow forced me into this social network. So let's come to project number two, the vector collector. So this is now a low budget production. You can see it gets more expensive. And as I said, I will only cover it shortly, but it binds the first and the third together. It's a project that I've done together with my partner Kati Hüppe in 2021. So the background here is that we have been invited for an artist residency in Chemnitz. That's next year's capital of culture also. So for such an artist residency, you are basically invited as an artist to make an artwork somewhere for an institution usually. And often this is also comes along with a theme, and the theme in that case was drag and drop, and it addressed urban space, digitization, participation, and our idea was to build an interactive installation on wheels that we can basically drag around the city, drop everywhere, and people can do something with it. So, did I want to tell more? What's up with my slides? So here is this is the result of the machine. So people could basically make drawings with the joystick. And once finished, the participants got their drawing that they have made, officially stamped and numbered. But we also got something. We got the digital data because we had a little SD card module there also on the machine, and we were just logging every joystick movement and every drawing. So that way we could basically digitize what's in the head of the people in Chemnitz. And the machine started out with a donation from Exhein. We got this very nice plotter from Exhein. Here, applause for Exhein, please. World famous hack and make space, which also I think has on the first floor here an assembly. They gave us this old Hewlett-Packard plotter, which worked super well for about 5 minutes, and then smoke came out. The whole electronics was trash, and I couldn't save it anymore. But the mechanism still worked well, so we quickly turned it alive again with a hack out of gear motors and some encoders and a lot of hot glue and Arduinos. And then I was also just recycling the firmware from the graffiti plotter because it was basically working the same. We also used the same 12-volt motorbike battery. And the outcome was this machine that basically makes drawing more complicated than if you would just draw by hand. And then we dragged the machine around and dropped it at various locations in the city. And then we let the people draw vector drawings. So this worked quite well, and I think it worked so well because it was quite a curiosity, this thing. So it was very easy to find people to participate. And the machine also had a built-in speaker with which we played constantly some happy chiptune-style music. So this created like an ad hoc social situation, and people had quite a lot of fun drawing with it. That was our entire setup. We had also this extra table for collecting metadata, of course. So there we had this old mechanical typewriter, and there we wrote down stuff like the date, the location, the color of the pen, but no personal info of the people who participated. And it was actually also quite a good thing to keep kids busy when they were waiting for their time to draw something, because they were all very excited to interact with a mechanical typewriter. They've never seen something like this. So this is how the data looked like that was collected by the vector collector. Again, it's a lot of numbers. And it's a little bit different than the Graphomat, because here it really records all the pen movements, not just the drawn lines, but everything. And therefore, we could also use these data sets for the website to present the drawings as animations of the pen movements. So we have this website, which is then, it also contains this public domain online archive of vector drawings. And I also want to show you this toolchain here, how we got the stuff online. So this is what we have done every evening, copying the data from SD card, following this evil toolchain here. It was quite a quick hack, this entire machine, and I think it shows in this idiotic procedure, because we didn't plan anything beforehand, and everything was just growing on top of old code, and it worked for us. But it is, of course, not how you would design it if you would think about it first. So the advantage of it was, though, that the format was still compatible with the plotter, and we could also use the graffiti plotter to plot some of the people's drawings on some walls in Chemnitz. So we also made a short video about the machine that I will show you now. Thanks. So, project number three, the Maschinenmosaik. So this happened at the beginning of 2023. And as I mentioned already, it was like a culmination of the other two projects. But this time it was created with a bigger team and also with a bigger budget. And that's because it was the result of a public art competition. Let's have a little bit of a historic background here about the place. where this all happened. So this is East Germany's first large-scale prefab quarter that was built around 50 years ago at the borders of Berlin, very close to my place. And right from the beginning, public artworks have been part of the area. So they had really beautiful facades, fountains, very nice reliefs, also some more minimalistic ones. And now over the time and due to mostly thermal renovations, a lot of the art got lost on those facades. The name of the place is Anton Sefko Platz, which is around Ventful. That was the situation at the beginning when we started the project. So you can see the walls were all covered with tags and not even very beautiful ones. And to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the area, the city of Berlin made this art competition. And they were specifically looking for participatory artworks for those walls that would prevent future vandalization. And of course, I did not want to make anything against graffiti, but I rather thought to open up this graffiti theme for everyone, especially this Hall of Fame. I like this. I wanted to create something like a hall for everyone, where everyone could make a drawing for it or a painting. So these competitions usually work so that you write a text and a concept, and you also make a poster. That was the poster, how I visualized my idea. I doubled down a bit on the concept of the vector collector because I figured that people are actually quite willing to participate in creating art when it's disguised as a video game. So I wanted to build, or I built this mobile arcade machine to collect pixel drawings instead of vectors because I thought that the pixel aesthetic fits actually quite well to the prefab high-risers and also the mosaics that have been there. The machine would have a thermal receipt printer built in. So again, the idea was that people would receive their drawing as a paper receipt. And the machine collected the data, and then we wanted to use this data to make spray stencils, and then together with the graffiti friends make big murals on the walls, like community murals, basically. Of drawings of the neighbors. And as you can guess, because I'm presenting here this project, I won the competition. And that's the real machine, the Mosaic Maschine. On the right side, you can see the interface. What I find always very important is that it's a very simple interface because I don't want that people start to learn my interface concept. I want that they can use it right away. What you can also see there that it's symmetrical, so there are those black and white buttons on both sides because there are people who are left-handers and others rather prefer the right hand. There were also some potties on the back with which I could change the speed of the interface because some people are slower, others are faster. And altogether, people spend a lot more time with this machine than with the vector collector, and I think it's because they could basically make corrections there. You could not do this with the vector collector. That's a screen recording of the very simple drawing program. So you can see it's a 32 by 32 pixel grid, and the participants could just draw black and white images on them. And when they finished the drawing, as I said, there was this little printer, and they got a printout of their drawing. So the machine was constantly connected to the internet, and the drawing was then also uploaded directly to the gallery on the project website. And over the course of several weeks, often together with my friend and neighbor Paul, we visited many places and he assisted me. That's, for example, the public library in the neighborhood. We've also been in a youth club. It made people quite curious, this machine, so this guy stopped me when I was walking back home and he wanted to try it out. And what is also quite clear is that people really like giveaways, so they were quite happy to receive this kind of little prints. It's also, you know where to put them, you know, everyone has a place to put little paper receipts. And what I find quite important that we have always been with the machine, Paul and I, to moderate it, basically moderate the process. I think that was quite helpful because you could communicate the overall concept and it's easy to get in touch. It's basically a very good conversation starter, such a machine. So the people who participated were quite diverse. We had a big age range. The youngest ones were about 3 years old, the oldest older than 90 years old. And over the course of 10 weeks, we collected more than 500 drawings at and around Anton Sefko Platz. Now let's have a look at the technical side of the project. We will start with the hardware. My first concern when I thought about the machine was the screen, because I thought it would have to work outside, also in very bright daylight. And there exist commercial screens for that, but they're super expensive. And as I mentioned before, I like recycling, and I had this old 4x3 screen in the basement, so I just removed the backlight, and I got a very bright ceiling LED light and put it behind, and that way I got a cheap and recycled, very powerful display. You are aware with your applause interruptions that we have limited time here, huh? I get already signs the whole time. And I think good night. So this time I made actually a 3D model. So I built it from the outside to the inside. The arcade cabinet was about two-thirds the size of a normal arcade cabinet. That had two reasons. One was accessibility. That was actually the main reason that I had in mind. I wanted that kids and people in wheelchairs could use it as well. But then I discovered that it's actually also super helpful just for moving the machine. The material, again, was plywood. And besides the monitor that I mentioned already, there are all kinds of other things inside this arcade machine. And all those things were wired then up according to this hardware block diagram. Here we have another diagram. This shows how the software works. And I don't want to go into details, but I just wanted to, well, mention that everything was programmed there in JavaScript and PHP. So everything worked there automatically with the uploading. This here, for example, is the drawing game that ran full screen in a web browser, and then the drawings were stored as a JSON file. And then the public website with this mosaic gallery is this little box here. And then one thing that I also want to mention is this layout tool that I programmed to finally design stencils. So it was quite a streamlined process. Here's a screen recording of this layout tool. So there I could select drawings and resize, invert them, rotate them, position them. And I could basically combine the drawings of different people to create then one stencil. And this I could export and then cut with such a hobby cutting plotter. And the size there is 60 by 60 centimeters, and we used thick wax paper for this, so we experimented with a few different materials, and that worked quite well. Over the course of several weeks, we plotted there hundreds of stencils, and the aim was really to have a stencil of every motif and also have every motif at the wall at the end. So here's a closer look at some of the stencils. This is a background stencil because we first wanted to structure the walls with a background tile pattern and then go with the motifs on top. So due to the big number, the management of the stencils became quite a big challenge. This is something that I didn't really think through beforehand. But what we've done then is we made stacks with different types of motifs. So we categorized them by the motif, basically by the themes. And we had themes like geometrical patterns, nature, names, figures. And then I bought a lot of spray cans. And I called my graffiti friends and we made some spraying experiments. And when we were happy with the results, we moved on to the real walls. So first we prepared the walls with some wall paint. There, when we did this, we got actually quite a lot of negative comments from the neighbors because they thought we would just repaint the walls and the next night someone else would come and tag on them again. But the mood really shifted then completely when we started to apply the drawings, because then they understood what we were doing and they found it quite nice and they really supported us, were applauding us, bringing us drinks. Here are some detail photos. So this is a tile background, and then here with some drawings on top of it, some more drawings. Then we had more chaotic sections also. Some were also more clear and simple. Then we also had this tiny house as our base at the square, and there we had the mosaic machine and the plotter installed, and the neighbors could come over and also make some last-minute designs and then spray them themselves. So at the backside of the place, there was also a big parking lot with a huge wall, and there the graffiti friends had the idea to make a big arcade machine and basically to let drawings fly out to explain how this all happened. And this is now a video clip of the finished walls. So this is close to the swimming pool. There are all water-related motifs. And then closer to the park, we have more nature-themed things. So this is about 500 square meters on four different walls. It's a lot to discover. And the participants were actually quite excited to see then the finished piece, because many of them kept their little printout, and then they could compare, or they could basically, it was like an egg hunt. They could find their own contribution. And now, 1.5 years later, it's still in good condition. There's some small tags here and there, but they were quite easy to cover again with some mosaics. So this was a big project that I couldn't carry out alone. So these are all the collaborators here who helped me to do this, all friends of mine. Thanks on behalf of them. And such a big project didn't just involve a bigger team, but also it took a longer time. That's the timeline. The duration was several months from the beginning to the inauguration. Here's the inauguration party, the first unpixelated photo here. So there are some neighbors who contributed on this photo, the team, a politician who held a speech, the architect of the area. And if you want to find more about it, Maschinenmosaik is the project website in German with a gallery, and niklasroy.com/mm is more background and in English, and also all the codes and everything. There's also a longer video. So now we have how many? 1 minute left for the conclusion of those three projects. So we can have a look at different sides of the project. Let's see what we can cover in 1 minute. If we look at the technical side, what I have learned is that it's really worth to invest in a better software architecture right from the beginning and build a proper tool chain, make everything automatic. On the social side, what I've learned is that machines are really top conversation starters, might be quite useful for the fellow nerds also. This is how you can get easily in touch. And that moderation has a lot of value. And then on the creative side, what I really liked is how rich the data sets are. That if you involve other people, that you basically get a lot of creativity for free, and it's some sort of creativity that you get ideas that you wouldn't just have yourself. So this is all the data sets also are released in the public domain. So if you have any idea what to do with vectors or many pixel images, then go for it. You can find everything on my website, niklasroy.com. I have also some social media profiles about which I don't really care that much. I always publish here on my diary some photos, and yeah, that's it, basically. So thanks a lot. And I'm at 0 minutes. Timing worked out. Very good. Thanks.
Thank you so much. So, dear all, do you have questions? I see no one at the microphone. I ask the internet. Internet is saying no. I have to say, it was wonderful to watch, and you make some places so look much nicer than what maybe I expect in my personal expectation. For instance, Chemnitz, which is a place in Eastern Germany, for those who don't know it, it's in Saxony, and it's a place which is maybe in the news in the latest years for right-wing people, for Nazis, for stuff. And what you showed us is there are people who like to participate, who like to work with you, who do, who are creative and stuff, and that's so nice to see a different part, a different phrase of such a place. So yeah. For this only, I have to say thank you, because it's not so like, yeah, it's not what I maybe expect of this place.
I guess next year we will hear more from and about Chemnitz in a more positive light, I hope, when it becomes the capital of culture. So there will be, I guess, quite a lot of news. But Chemnitz has also beautiful sights. Not everyone is like right-wing there.
And you remind us, so that's really, that's a nice thing. So yeah. I check the microphones, 1, 2, 3,
You can also have
four.
Just a comment. If you don't have a question, comments are also okay. But it's also okay if you, if Ooh. That's it. Someone wants to say something.
Okay, thank you very much. A question, please.
No, I was asked for a comment. Thank you for showing us this awesome work and how you participated and communicated with all the people you involved. It's really nice. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hey. The next.
You said you collected those mosaic drawings over the course of 5 weeks. It's a long time. Did you get paid for that?
Yeah, I said this, so this was it was 10 weeks, I think. So the whole project took almost half a year, and it was an art competition, so this is like public art. This works so that you have a budget, and you have to come up with a concept for this budget. So I knew how much money there would be, and then I had to come up with an idea, what do I want to do with the money? So this kind of calculation is then part of it. So everyone was paid, and everyone was actually, in this case, also paid quite well.
First, I see you, microphone one. First, microphone four, please.
Yes, so thank you for your talk, and I loved all your product. So if you do projects like this regularly, how do you store all the stuff you make? Or do you have to disassemble it afterwards? Because it's quite big.
This is really a good question. Yeah, thank you for thinking about this as well. I think most people don't really think about it. Yeah, so the problem is you become your own art collector, and you can do this for a while if you don't manage to sell the stuff. Then recycling is a way to deal with it, so to make something new, to give it away, also distribute it somehow. Here's a nice gift. and our basement is actually quite full. Yeah. So it's a problem. I think there should be artist grants for just storing artworks also.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, microphone one, please.
Great project. What was the second button on the vector machine for? The one first was for drawing, and there was a second.
You mean at the joystick? Or
yeah.
It's the same, it was mirrored, that you left hand, right hand.
Okay.
But the thing is, there I actually learned it, because I was building the joystick and I was drilling the hole from the backside, and I just wanted to have one button in there. But you know, the mirroring problem. I drilled it at the wrong position. Thought, okay, well, it will get two buttons. And this is actually when I realized it's much better like this, because it's more accessible. And since then, I'm always trying to build mirrored interfaces.
And we have a question or a comment from the internet.
The internet is asking, how long does the drill last as a plotter?
This is... Is it more about how long the... So, well, I can answer. So the battery lasts for a day of plotting, and the drills are still alive. So I cannot tell. Lasts, obviously, quite a while.
Okay, with this good news in the end, we finish. Thank you very much. Thank you, Niklas.
All right, thank you. Thanks.